Hello, sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Monday, June 30th, 2008, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That would be me. It's been hotter than blazes here in the Emerald City. And it's been that way all weekend, so I'm sitting here slinging my tits over this hot microphone just so that I can bring you today's broadcast. You know what they say, the show must go on. So, to liven things up a bit, I've put together a really great show for you. We begin with some scintillating Q&A, we move on to a swell product review, and finally, a bit of sex in the news. Today, we welcome a brand spanking new podcast sponsor, the good people who bring you the amazing Fleshlight and Fleshjack. The Fleshlight and Fleshjack are the granddaddies of male masturbation toys. For those who have never seen one of these brilliant devices, let me describe it to you. It looks like a huge flashlight, thus the very clever names, don't you know? Inside the durable plastic case, there is a soft, fleshy inside called Super Skin. And trust me, this stuff is aptly named. It's phenomenal. But that's just the beginning. What makes the Fleshlight and Fleshjack so freaking amazing is that you get to design and personalize just about every aspect of the unit you purchase. Now, what other toy company allows you to do that? And ladies, here's a tip. This is the perfect gift for your man. You know how I keep talking about the mutual joys and the important information shared when a couple masturbates together, right? Well, this is the ideal masturbation toy for him. Check it out and see for yourself. I know you will agree, nothing beats a Fleshlight. Look for the banners on the sidebar of drdicksexadvice.com. You'll be so glad that you did. Before we begin today's exciting show, I'd like to remind you of the toll-free lickety-split sex advice podcast voicemail hotline at 866-422-5680. Got a question or a comment? Maybe you just want to rant and rave a bit. Or you just want to talk dirty for a minute or two. Why not get it off your chest and give Dr. Dick a call at 866-422-5680? No need to be shy, my pretties, because this is voicemail. No one is going to answer your call, least of all me. Besides, a voicemail message is almost certain to guarantee you a place in one of my podcasts. Okay, on with the show. Today's first correspondent is Roger. He's in his 70s, and he's located in Sagatuck, Michigan. He writes, "Hi, I linked to your very interesting site via All Kink. My question. Last year I underwent radiation on my prostate. It was enlarged and had cancer cells. Apparently it did the job. Since then my PSA is way down and the doctor says I've shrunk and I'm healthy otherwise. But since then I'm almost totally impotent. Don't get erect when I want to, though sometimes get semi-erect at random times. I can still orgasm, but don't ejaculate. Sometimes a little clear fluid dribbles out afterwards. Curiously, I would still ejaculate during and right after the radiation treatments, but not now. Also, in general, a noticeable decrease in libido. Needless to say, very annoying. I'm gay, solo, in my 70s. Celibate since the mid-1980s when I tested HIV negative and a dedicated bottom. I knew I was at risk and safe sex just didn't turn me on. I've been using dildos of all sizes for years. Now, insertion has become a little painful, kind of stings like the first times way back when, but after several tries they go in okay. Those of larger girth or not very smooth texture are really difficult, and I've had to pretty much give up on them, although John Holmes still works. There is occasionally a little blood on the dildo afterwards, but bleeding doesn't persist, and the doctor says I have no hemorrhoids. The radiologist did warn me that the treatment might produce scar tissue in the colon. Is that a possibility? I hate to think that I ought to give up altogether on my little pleasures, but would welcome your advice and opinion. I haven't discussed this with my urologist, whom I don't know very well, but I did bring it up with my female GP, who didn't seem overly concerned and merely suggested lots of lube, which was not news to me. Wow, Roger, that was a mouthful. I'm so delighted you wrote in. I love hearing from folks in their 60s, 70s, and 80s who are still enjoying a rich and fulfilling sex life, even if it's by themselves. I am of the mind that self-pleasuring can be some of the most rewarding sex available to a person at any age. And nowadays, with all the amazing sex toys on the market, one can really enjoy solitary sexual pleasures like never before. I've written and spoken a lot about prostate issues, including the aftermath of cancer treatments. May I suggest that you take a look at the category section on the sidebar of my site? There you will find a category labeled Health Concerns. There are subcategories for anal fissures and one for prostatectomy. I realize that you haven't had a radical prostatectomy, but your situation is very similar to the men who have. If you click on either of those two subcategories, you will find loads of useful information in both written and podcast form. In the meantime, let me see if I can address some of your questions in a nutshell. You ask about possible scar tissue from radiation therapy. The short answer is yes, scar tissue is possible, even probable. And as we all know, scar tissue is not nearly as pliable as regular tissue. Scar tissue also has fewer nerve endings than normal tissue. You could be injuring yourself without even knowing it. And since the sensations in your ass are considerably less, thanks to the radiation, I'd be willing to guess that this might be the source of your bleeding. Maybe you need to retire the really big toys like the John Holmes and enjoy something more modest for the time being. Another suggestion is to try an inflatable dildo. There are several on the market. You can even find one in my stockroom. Just look for the tab at the top of the page. The advantage to something like this is that you could insert a relatively narrow dildo and inflate it to a larger size once inside. This would avoid ramming a really big dildo in your bum from the get-go. As to your erection issues, yeah, I hear ya. Aging alone will take its toll on the hydraulics that give us wood. When you couple that with the trauma of invasive surgery and or radiation therapy, well, it's no wonder stiffies elude us. I tell the men I see in my private practice who are similarly challenged as you to use a cock ring to assist them in getting the best boner possible under the circumstances. A penis pump works pretty well, too. If you want to go the distance, that is. I have lots more to say about these devices if you care to hear it. Also, several men I know with erection concerns are taking a cue from the women folk and employing the use of a vibrator in their sex play. There are insertable vibrators as well as external ones. Have you given this option a thought? The extra stimulation a vibrator can produce will increase blood flow and thus a more substantial boner. I have a whole lot more to say about this, too, if you care to write me for that information. In the end, it will be desire that will continue to propel you to further enjoy yourself and the pleasures your body has to offer. I wish you continued lust and many more years of healthy and life-affirming sexuality. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Write it down. 866-422-5680. Next, we hear from Chris, who's 23, and he writes from San Francisco. Dr. Dick, Wow, may I say, this is a fantastic sight. It's good to see sex as an open topic and that it's not only an available activity, it's a good activity to take part in. I'm 23, gay, and living in beautiful San Francisco, the perfect place for a 23-year-old gay boy to be. And your tutorials have taken my blowjob and power bottoming skills from what was good to, wow, let's do that again. If I may make one suggestion in the Liberating the Big Old Bottom Within guide, I personally recommend that anyone who wants to bottom get to know the fiber aisle of the grocery or drugstore. I find that that helps to keep things squeaky clean longer. But the question I had was about orgasms while bottoming. Is there any technique that you know that would help me reach orgasms while bottoming without having to touch myself? I almost reached that point last night while experimenting with some new movies in the sack, but I was wondering if there were any exercises I could do on my own to reach there with my partners, playing safely, of course. Yes, my friend, you may say that this is a fantastic sight. You can say that over and over if you'd like. All kidding aside, thank you very much for your kind words. You know, I was just about your age when I moved to the Bay Area. I finished my undergraduate work in the spring of 1972 in Washington, D.C. Later that year, I moved to Oakland to begin my graduate work in Berkeley. I remember thinking to myself back then, oh my God, I've fallen into a pot of jam. Leaving a very conservative school in the nation's capital, I found myself almost immediately on the other end of the political spectrum, on the other side of the country. The world began to open for me. Berkeley was magical, and my life inalterably changed for the better. In 1978, at the age of 28, I moved to San Francisco to begin my work on my doctorate. It was like a dream come true. While I was living in Oakland, I would cross the Bay Bridge several times a week just to soak up San Francisco's uniqueness. I used to think, as I crossed the bridge and approached the city, my God, that is a beautiful sight. While I thought Oakland was great, I was happy not to have to commute any longer. To finally reside in the city I loved so much felt like I had died and gone to heaven. The 70s and 80s were the halcyon days of my youth. Oh, to be young and gay and to live in San Francisco at that time. I wouldn't exchange that experience for all the tea in China. I decided way back then that I would open myself as much as possible to as many life-expanding experiences as presented themselves. For the most part, I was served very well by this philosophy. Of course, there were plenty of unsavory experiences that I would never want to relive, but even they were full to the brim with helpful information about me and the world around me. As I look back, I have no regrets. I thought I would reside in the jewel by the bay for as long as I lived. I had surely found home. But as fate would have it, that did not happen. I left San Francisco for Seattle in 1999, after nearly 30 years in that amazing place. Now I look back fondly on that transformative time. The life lessons I learned there continue to serve me very well now. I'm immeasurably enriched for the time I lived and loved there. Boy, that got me way off message, huh? Sorry about that. It's just that your message got me to reminiscing about being young and gay and living in San Francisco. Okay, on to your concerns. First, let me ask you to add your thoughts on the importance of fiber intake for the aspiring B.O.B., or Big Old Bottom, in the comment section of that very posting. Would you do that for me? As much as I appreciate you offering your pearls of wisdom to me alone, I think all of our audience would benefit. Don't you agree? The beauty part of a site like drdicksexadvice.com is the cumulative knowledge and insight of all who visit there. I can't do this on my own, don't you know? I have a lot to say to your question about prostate orgasms while bottoming. And I would like to begin by saying, while prostate orgasms are possible for some of us, not all of us will ever experience one. I'm not sure one can actually train himself to have one of these elusive orgasms at will, but what I can say for sure is that if there is a way, it'll never going to happen unless one is fully prostate aware. How does one become fully prostate aware, you might ask? Good question. I suppose that would start with an intimate familiarity with your anatomy. Do you know how you're put together down there? You sound like a clever lad, so maybe you are. If you're not, my site has lots of important information along those lines. Look for male reproductive system in the category section of the sidebar. Knowing and loving your prostate is the next step to this process. Prostate massage is where you're going to begin. You can do this with your fingers, a dildo, or a specialized tool like one of the Aneros products. You can read all about them on the product reviews page of my site. Look for review number 4. There's one final thing you'll need to master, and that's Kegel exercises. If you are unfamiliar with these and or why you need to practice these exercises, you can read and or listen to all the postings written and podcast I've ever made about this very important regimen. Just look for Kegels in the category section on the sidebar. I'd be very interested in hearing from you again. I'd like to know how you're getting along in this quest for the elusive hands-free orgasm. And don't forget to use the comment section on all of the postings you are reading. I want you to share your insights with all of us. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline telephone number again? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Okay, as you know, we welcome a new podcast sponsor today, and to celebrate this momentous occasion, I thought I'd share with you my review of one of the Fleshlight products. It's Fleshlight Ice. It's $59.95, don't you know? So, sex fans, I suppose you all know that the Fleshlight has been around for several years now, right? Good. I figured you would have noticed. I mean, a person can hardly visit a sex-related site these days without seeing one of their fetching ads. I realize that I'm a Johnny-come-lately with my review, but like my mama always used to say, all good things come to those who wait. Like you, I've seen the Fleshlight around for years, and because of that, I convinced myself I knew everything there was to know about this device. After all, I visited their websites loads of times. I watched their beautifully produced and oh-so-sexy mini-movies more times than I care to admit, and I even interviewed a bunch of satisfied customers. I confess, even though I never actually held a Fleshlight in my hand, I imagined I knew everything there was to know about a Fleshlight. I mean, hey, it's not like I never used a masturbator before. How different could this one be? Well, so much for baseless assumptions. Imagine my surprise when my very own personal Fleshlight showed up on my doorstep. I discovered that just about everything I knew about this marvel didn't even come close to the real thing, until I had one of my own to fondle and probe, if you catch my drift. I was clueless. It's true that what they say, this is the granddaddy of male stimulators. But you really shouldn't take my word for it. My initial piece of advice to everyone in my audience is, don't be a smug jerk like me. That's right. If you've never had your grubby paws on or your hot little boner in an actual fleshlight, you pretty much don't know nothing about a fleshlight, period. The first thing that struck me about the fleshlight is it's way bigger and heavier than I imagined. I figured it would be the size of a regular fleshlight. I was wrong. The plastic shell is a serious 10 inches in length, and by itself it's fairly light. It's the totally amazing super skin insert that racks up the weight. My fleshlight weighs in at a hefty 1 pound 8.5 ounces, and that, sex fans, is a handful or two for damn sure. More about this in a minute. The super skin insert is totally amazing. It begs to be touched and caressed. It is unlike any other texture I've experienced in a sex toy, and like I said, I've had an opportunity to test drive a bunch of masturbators and stimulation sleeves in my time. Super skin is kind of like a jelly, but it's so much more substantial. I know this is going to sound trite, but it does feel flesh-like. And if you just add a little hot water to your fleshlight, as I did before you sink in your chub, well, it's pretty much the most amazing feeling you can have from something that simulates a human orifice. And you want to talk marketing genius? All fleshlight customers are invited to customize their unit before they buy, and that is where the fun begins. Since most guys are pretty particular about where they stick their joystick, Fleshlight is cleverly come up with several orifice options: pussy, mouth, asshole, or neutral. Apparently this option is for those who can't commit. The plastic case comes in silver, black, or clear. And there are optional insert colors too: pink, mocha, or ice. And get this, you can even choose from among 6 different internal contours for the insert itself: original, super tight, ultra tight, speed bump, super ribbed, and wonder wave. If with all these options you can't design the perfect fleshlight for you, you're just too damn fussy. I want to draw your attention to one last feature before we take this puppy on a test drive. The plastic case, the thing that looks like a flashlight, has removable caps at both ends. The top cap covers the bulbous head of the insert and helps keep it clean when it's not in use. The end cap can be removed for easy cleaning. The jizz fanatics among us will appreciate this, because when a wank section is over, you can simply dribble out your spunk for some nasty DNA play. Like I suggested above, you can also add hot water through the end cap for a warm, squishy jack. If you do add water, don't overfill the blasted thing. No more than 3/4 full is my suggestion, and this is best done in the shower or bath, because depending on the rigor of your stroke, things are going to get mighty wet, which just happens to add to the fun. Just so you know, this was my favorite way to fleshlight. When the end cap is sealed tightly, it's a lot more difficult to plug in your PUD, even with loads of lube and a major stiffy. I found that if I loosened the end cap just until I got situated, as it were, I could then tighten the cap to make for a swell little vacuum sensation. Very nice. I wonder if that was intended in the design or simply a happy accident. By the way, you should only use water-based lube with your fleshlight, and it cleans up in a snap. A little soap and water did the trick. And here's a tip. Once the insert is dry, dust it with a little cornstarch-based body powder. This will help keep things as fresh as the day you got it. I always like to take my time with a new toy, you know, to get a sense of how the thing works and feels, and this was particularly the way to go with the fleshlight. Masturbating with one of these puppies has several advantages to your basic hand job. First, there is a delightful silkiness and a tight, constant pressure on your cock throughout each stroke. In this regard, And despite the claims made by the Fleshlight marketing department, plugging a Fleshlight is very different than plugging any human orifice I know. But that's not a bad thing, mind you. Consider the guy who is dealing with premature ejaculation, for example. I'm positive that if he used a Fleshlight to train himself to last longer, he would have way more success than if he simply used his hand. This is an ideal device to practice delaying one's orgasm, and you can bank on that. Remember I mentioned the heft of the Fleshlight? I want to get back to that now, because the unit is heavier than other masturbators. One can actually fuck it as well as have it fuck you. Here's what I mean. If you're lying on your back and you're using your hand or hands to pump the Fleshlight up and down your rod, it's basically fucking you, right? I discovered that if I tilted the Fleshlight a bit up, down, or to one side or another, I was able to stimulate different areas of my cock. Using a corkscrew motion was way wonderful, too. Now, if you stick the Fleshlight between your mattress and box spring, for example, then you can fuck it. I really got off doing deep thrusts this way, and because of the ingenious bulbous head of the superskin insert, there is no way that I could injure myself on the hard plastic case with those deep, hard, manly thrusts of mine. One final thing. Y'all know I'm a really big advocate of partners masturbating together. There is just so much one can learn by watching a partner pleasure him or herself. The Fleshlight is the perfect male masturbator for this purpose. It's playful and non-threatening, so it will be easier to get your partner to join the fun and learn about your sexual response all at the same time. Enjoy! And now, it's time for more Sex in the News. Gay men and straight women have similar brain organization, or so says a recent study. Most scientists believe that sexual orientation is rooted in biology. But how do they go about proving that, one might ask? Well, it appears that researchers have been searching for innate traits that might point to the origins of sexual orientation. Recent researchers in Sweden published their findings that gay men and straight women share some characteristics in the area of the brain responsible for emotion, mood, and anxiety. Brain scans also showed the same symmetry among lesbians and straight men. These findings were published in the prestigious journal, The Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. The researchers added that the study cannot say whether the differences in brain organization are inherited or due to exposure to hormones such as testosterone in the womb. They also are unable to conclude if brain organization is responsible for sexual orientation. Numerous studies have looked at the roles genetic, biological, and environmental factors play in sexual orientation, but very little evidence exists that any one factor in particular plays the all-important primary role. This leads most scientists to assert that both nature and nurture play a part. This latest study highlights the difficulties of codifying the links between biology and sexual orientation, if they do exist at all. Some studies contradict other studies, and some promising findings don't actually pan out. Did you know that there was once a belief that male homosexuality and finger length might be linked? Another, later discredited claim suggested that gays have distinctive fingerprint ridge patterns. Then, of course, not all researchers agree on how to interpret the results even when they find likely correlations. But here are some interesting developments that you might find noteworthy. Study after study, including one of 87,000 British men published last year, found that gay men have more older brothers than straight men do. Only big brothers count, and lesbians don't show such patterns. Ray Blanchard of the University of Toronto, an expert in the Big Brother effect, says that each older brother will increase a man's chance of being gay by 33%. That's not as dramatic as it might sound, as a man's chance of being gay is pretty low to begin with, perhaps as low as 2%. So having one older brother only ups the chance of being gay to about 2.6%. Researchers guess that physiological influences are probably at work because the pattern holds even for gay men who weren't raised with their older brothers. Instead, the mother's womb might be the key. After giving birth to a boy, her immune system might create antibodies to foreign male proteins in her bloodstream. Subsequent sons in the womb could be exposed to these anti-boy antibodies, which might affect sexual development in the brain. How freaking amazing is that? Accordingly, you expect the percentage of gay men in a society to vary depending on the demographic differences in family size. One study calculated that a one-child-per-family law would reduce male homosexuality by 29% from current levels. The hand you use to sign your name might have something to do with what gender you are drawn to. The analysis of more than 2,300 men and women from North America and Europe in the year 2000 found that being non-right-handed seems to increase a male's chance of being gay by 34% and a woman by 90%. Again, researchers guess that different than normal levels of testosterone in the womb, widely theorized to play a role in determining eventual sexual orientation, could nudge a fetus toward brain organization that favors left-handedness as well as same-sex attraction. Penis size. If exposure to testosterone in the womb influences sexual orientation, scientists reckon that straight and gay people would differ in body parts strongly affected by testosterone, such as a guy's cock. Anthony Bogart of Brock University in Ontario and his colleagues reanalyzed data from 5,000 gay and straight men from the sexologist Alfred Kinsey's famous files collected from the 1930s to the 1960s. The result, published in 1999, showed that gay men had longer, thicker penises than did straight men. On average, about 6.5 inches long and 4.95 inches round when erect versus 6.1 inches long and 4.8 inches round for straight men. Scientists don't know what this means. One guess is that some male fetuses are exposed to a unique mix of hormones in the womb. Testosterone levels might spike early, causing enhanced penis growth, then drop off later in pregnancy, leading to some female characteristics. As you can see, there's still a lot of work to be done in this field. The next frontier looks to be in the subtle differences on how gay and straight brains navigate new cities, respond to erotic movies, and react to the scent of sweat and urine. And that, my friends, is today's Sex in the News. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is the Fleshlight People. Say, guys, are you looking for the perfect gift for yourself? A gift that will give you hours of fun and pleasure and never run out of batteries? Well, I have just the thing for you. Once you've tried a Fleshlight, you'll never settle for second best. You know, all you guys out there who keep complaining to me about your short fuse, well, here's a tip for you. Being a great lover, being able to control your orgasmic response and last for as long as you'd like takes practice. Sure, you can learn how to last longer simply using your hand, but now there's an even more effective way to train yourself for sexual stamina and endurance with a partner. Allow me to introduce you to the Endurance Jack. It's just one of the fine designs from Fleshlight. It comes with the stamina insert, which has extra large bumps and a tight canal. With just a little practice, this puppy will help train you to last longer, to gain control over your ejaculatory response, and avoid untimely climax. Once you've accomplished this with the Endurance Jack, you'll have all the skills you need to last and last with a partner. Hey, and don't forget to look for Dr. Dick's podcast on iTunes. Once in the podcast section, all you have to do is search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice, and don't forget to subscribe. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex, why, that's even better. Over and out.